Welcome to Cricket Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
It is cricket season. I know football's still going on, but yep. We are still very much so into cricket, at least for another 2 weeks or so.
Also, yeah.
Now, we are in the finishing rounds, boys and girls. This is what we've been waiting for. The tournament proper, I can say, probably starts now, shall we say?
It's definitely what they would call the business end.
Business end.
And it's the time when big players, you've got to stand up and show what they're worth and show that the team shows that they've got what it takes to win this. Three games, three wins, and the tournament's yours, basically.
Pretty much. So we'll go in the order of chronological happenstance.
Sure.
So our first quarterfinal that is coming up is Sri Lanka versus South Africa. Just to summarize, Sri Lanka have been the most successful team in the knockout stages of the tournament since the new millennium. They've not won a World Cup in that time, but they have been ridiculously successful, going to two finals and going to the semis pretty much every time.
Yeah.
And traditionally beating New Zealand at the semis to get to the finals. So it's a tough thing. And South Africa, who are famous for choking in knockout games.
Yes, very famous. They find ways to lose knockout games, just about.
And they found ways to lose games to India and Pakistan, despite being 100% the best team in the tournament, as A.B. de Villiers likes to say. I just feel like they're way too dependent on A.B. de Villiers. And unless, I told you this, we've had this discussion this morning, I feel South Africa's best bet is bat first, hopefully get 370 to 400, because otherwise they ain't defending that score against Sri Lanka's current batting lineup and its current form.
Interestingly enough, my theory is for Sri Lanka to bat second and be able to chase down 370, 400.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back themselves to chase that down and go, whatever South Africa gets, we've got the batting lineup to chase that down. And they do have the experience in the batting lineup to chase down just about anything South Africa.
I agree. That being said, I think if Sri Lanka are forced to bat first, South Africa's never won a game chasing this tournament yet.
No.
They are traditionally terrible chasers at the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, all of their knockout games, which they failed in, they were chasing.
Yeah.
So there's just so many ways to fail in a cricket match. South Africa's displayed them all, I think.
Yes. And probably right there, maybe put the pressure on them, make them chase, and then get into their heads about being chokers and never being able to chase things and such like. And it will put the clappers on them, you know.
And
that's the most obvious bit about any team in any tournament that has the choker's tag.
Yeah.
It's generally a psychological thing. They think they have this choker's tag, so they have the choker's tag. And so maybe you put them into the situation where all previous South African teams have failed is a good option. Yeah. So then you can, play that on them, and then it's working for you.
That being said, Sri Lanka are the first team to chase in a World Cup final and succeed, and did it quite easily in 1996. Not that any of those players are still around, of course. Well, to be honest, I don't see South Africa winning this game. Yes, A.B. de Villiers is a fantastic player, and yes, Daryl Steyn is still one of the best fast bowlers in the world, and Hashim Amla is a class act, and Imran Tahir is finally a great spin bowler for South Africa.
Yes.
But it's on the SCG, it's the best spinning track in the tournament, and it's a proper cricket pitch. None of this drop-in nonsense. It is a proper cricket pitch. It will take turn. And if Herat plays and is fit and that spinning finger is working, South Africa have their number.
I would also predict Sri Lanka in this, if only because the big three batters...
Is Sangakkara not the player of the tournament so far?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You look at it, he's going to score another century. Dilshan and Jay Warner are going to add at least another 100 onto that, if not 150 between them. So that's, 200, 250 from those three players alone.
Yeah.
Matthews is going to, if he has to come out of bat, he'll chime in for a reasonable amount as well. So you're getting close to 300 just from them. Everybody else is just going to get something resembling a score, and you're looking, 350 plus quite easily. And you look at it and you don't see how that can't happen. Mm-hmm. Even against the South African bowling lineup, which is very good. As you say, they've got very good bowlers all through it. They're very good fielders. They're going to restrict them. But
Sri Lanka has done really well against good bowling lineups. They scored 240 against New Zealand chasing, and they looked good at that game until they started losing wickets. Obviously, every team looks good until they start losing wickets, but and they did really well against Australia. I think very unlucky to lose that game with Sangakkara getting bowled off a no ball. getting out of a no ball and getting an injury to Pereira late in the game, which could have changed the match.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka have no fears. There's no target they should fear. They can win in the game.
But that is their downfall. They are reliant on a few key players. And you get Sankara early. You get Dilshan and Jayawardene, you know, under trouble. And that's not going to... There are no other runs there very easily. I mean, they've got reasonable batters. But you just don't see it. You don't see the... Those three have that experience, along with Matthews as well. Have that experience. Have that cricketing knowledge. And cricketing withdrawal to announce, to play it right and know, oh, the bowlers are really getting onto us here. You know, it's moving, you know, maybe early on it's moving a bit, but right, we're hold back a bit. There's no point flashing at the ball at this point. We can hold on for a bit. Oh, yeah, that, you know, this guy's on fire at the moment. Just block him out, you know, so just see him through.
Effectively, what we're saying is we think Sri Lanka will win because South Africa's a one man show and Sri Lanka are a three man show.
Yeah,
three is better than one.
Three is better than one.
Okay. I think we're happily in agreement with that. The next game is Bangladesh, India. Now, I know what my heart says, but there is realistically... India has this game. Their bowlers have bowled well better than everyone's expecting, and I've been very impressed by their bowling abilities in this tournament so far. Their batters have not really been pressured, but they chased down that score from Zimbabwe quite easily, which I got to see. Despite having a few pressures here and there, like, I think Zimbabwe, ironically, are the first batting lineup to actually pressure India's bowling and go after them. And if they had batted another 11 balls, because they got out without finishing their 50, that could have been another 15 to 20 runs, and that could have been the difference in those two games. But this is how that World Cup is measured. That extra 15 to 20 runs, not having that pressure, makes it a chaseable score.
Exactly. Just a little aside here on Zimbabwe. I actually thought they'd been a very good team in this tournament, apart from that little bit at the end. They seem to be missing just five of the 10 overs, and they're batting and they're bowling. They just give away every game. They've been good up to a certain point, and then...
And they've mentioned it. They don't get enough games against the big teams, and... You build that, you can have good players, and there are plenty of good players in the Zimbabwe team, and good skills, and all the basics right, but you only get big match temperament by playing big games against big teams. And you don't learn to kill games without playing as many good games. I mean, realistically, at this stage, the only team they play against is like Bangladesh. I don't know why they didn't play that series against Ireland before the tournament. It would have done them a world of good, I think.
Would have done Ireland a world of good, too.
And both teams could have done well, gotten into some form going into this tournament. Heck, I'm surprised, given New Zealand doesn't seem to get as many teams wanting to tour here as much, we don't play the teams like the Zimbabwe's. We give Bangladesh a few more games, but we'll see. I think the Zimbabwe team are still young, and there's a lot of good young players to come.
Just on that tour thing, I think the problem more is the reciprocal tour now. So New Zealand doesn't want to play Zimbabwe because the New Zealand team doesn't like touring to Zimbabwe. And that's probably a problem with a lot of the other teams, is they don't like to go to Zimbabwe. Yeah. And so, therefore, but that may change. And
hopefully. For the sake of their, well, not just their cricket, but obviously their country. But that being said...
Bangladesh, India.
Well, Bangladesh have found form at the right time of the tournament.
That's what I look at it and say. That's where Bangladesh may have an edge. Whilst India's not out of form, they're in good form.
Absolutely.
Bangladesh have definitely come into a very rich vein of form at exactly the right time. Their bowling's very good. Their batting is outstanding. I'm with you. Head says India all the way. But my heart goes, come on, live a little. Bangladesh can do this one.
Yeah.
And you get the feeling if there's any game where there could be a massive upset with Bangladesh in it, this is one of those games. They've got it all going for them. They've just got to live it. The only issue I could see is they're not living up to it because it's their first knockout game in a World Cup. You know, there's a bit of pressure there.
Mm-hmm.
There's expectation, and the occasion might get to them. And so that might be it. If they can ride through that and ride the wave of youthism that they've gotten, really bring it to them, I think they could run India very hard. It'd be a very interesting game.
I don't see India making many changes into the game, injuries aside. And realistically, they shouldn't. All their players have pretty much done their job and the positions they've been playing.
Yeah.
All their top batsmen are in form. The lower middle order hasn't had much to do, but is that really a negative? That's just showing that the guys on top of them are doing the job.
Well, it's a similar complaint as what the New Zealanders were getting.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you won too easily. You're not getting a good workout. You don't know how you're going to handle the pressure. It's like, no, we're just smashing teams. We're not that much business.
And like, I'll go to New Zealand next, but I think Bangladesh, and I'll come to this, have done New Zealand a world of good in their last game, but I think Bangladesh got a good workout in that last game. They put in a good batting performance against a very good bowling lineup.
Yes.
Their fielding was not the best. It's not been the best all tournament. In all the live games I've watched them play, their bowling has been very disciplined. Mashrafi on one leg somehow seems to get great wickets without realistically bowling that fast. It's all guile and experience and just knowing where to put the ball. The people who were with us in the party were saying that Martin Guptill would find it more difficult to score a century if Mashrafi had been playing the last game, and that may be true.
Yeah.
But that being said, bowling lineup is, and Mashrafi will definitely be back for the India game. And the Rubel has been in good form, and Taskian has been in good form. I would pick a fourth pace bowler in that lineup. Yeah. Drop the extra spinner, Arafat Sani, who is bad luck for him. He's not done anything wrong in this tournament, but I think we need the pace. Spin will do nothing against India. I don't think. Well, and we've already got Shakib and Mohammadullah and Shabir to do spin. So there's three spinners at least 20 overs there between three bowlers. And there's also Shumya Sharkar, who scored a good 50 against New Zealand, who can also bowl mediums. So there's a good bowling lineup there. Useful players. I think Bangladesh have to bite the bullet. We don't have any room for any passengers in this team. And if we're going to beat the world champions, we can't keep giving Tamim Iqbal and Imrul Qais more games. We've got to pick a batting lineup that's in form. I like Mohammadullah at number 3 or number 4. I think Shakib's perfect at number 4 or number 5. And of course, Mushfiq's been probably the most consistent player for Bangladesh this tournament, and he's perfect where he is.
Yeah, that 3-4-5-6 lineup for Bangladesh has been
putting them. It's 1 and 2, that's where we... Shumya Sharkar can open, and I think he should. It's who you partner him up with as an opener. And
so I almost see a bit of a method to the madness there. Send out two guys, it's the old set day 7B tactic. Send out some guys to take the leather off the ball, shine off the ball for the first few overs, and then get out, and then have your good batters come in and just smash around the tire bombers.
Except these batters haven't been batting time either. But not said about that. We'll know more, obviously, once we see that game. What would you do if you won the toss for Bangladesh?
I think I would actually bowl first.
Uh-huh. And chase a big score?
I think that will play more into Bangladesh. They get a good bowling performance, it's going to get them on high. If they get out there and get into a good rhythm in batting, it's going to build the optimism and build that confidence, and hopefully they can ride that through. And if they've got a good Bengali crowd there, that's going to build and build as the batting's going on, and hopefully that will pull them along and they can, go along with that wave of cheering and everything.
And I did see Bangladesh chase down a big total in Nelson against Scotland. That being said, India's bowling lineup is probably more than a shade better than Scotland's, with no disrespect to Scotland in any way, shape or form. But I like the idea of Bangladesh setting a score, and I am a big believer in is you keep your strength for the second innings. If you're stronger as a batting lineup, you keep that later, and you do what's you're not as good at first. And I think Bangladesh are much, much better at bowling, and their fielding is, while not as good, it makes up for it because the bowling is okay, is much better. And if Mashrafi's captaining, it'll lift the team. If they can get 270 to 300 sort of score, they can put pressure on India. That's what I would try to do. Also, with Bangladesh are one of the few teams that have managed to get the ball to reverse against India, and that really realistically only happens under the lights for some reason. It doesn't really occur in the daytime. If you've got bowlers who are getting it to reverse at the death, that can make a lot of difference.
Yeah, I see your point on that. It's not a bad strategy. Might even be the better one, is saying, because of the ability under lights for the ball to reverse swing through everything.
It'd be nice to see the ball do something nice. It's been such a batter's tournament so far.
It has been a batter's tournament.